The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patch Crane, Jason Braddock in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1. At Jason Braddock, at Lead Hitters, at Aaron is Blitz. Aaron Ray Bolton on the side of the glass at the Master Controls. We'll get back into the show in just a second. First, we will get to the phones. Josh, you're on the Blitz. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, fellas. What's going on?
You got it. What's on your mind?
I just want to make a comment on that whole Ken Rosenthal piece that got put out. And just to put it in context, I'm a Rangers fan, and I don't much care for the Astros, but that comment that came out about the whole suspension saying that 8 games is too harsh, you know, if it was, you know, it's equal to a 22-game suspension for a full season is, I don't much care, and I don't think MLB cares that just because it's a shortened season that all suspensions that are handed out should be prorated. To me, I think that 8-game suspension would have been justified in a 162-game, and it wouldn't have been more than that. And two, I think it was a chicken crap move on that pitcher to even throw at the two guys who are basically the face of this whole cheating scandal, and the fact that he's a reliever pitcher, and he knows that he doesn't have to come up the following inning to basically eat a fastball at the plate because of the DH rule. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, we actually had someone chime in on the Twitch stream that was talking about that. They would love to see these pitchers that are so brave and braggadocious after they throw at a batter's head have to go into the batter's box the next inning and face the pitcher. Because that's the only thing I've always hated about this. Like, these coward-ass pitchers can sit there and throw at people's head and put their, you know, livelihood at jeopardy. I mean, you talked about the player that died in 1920 getting struck in the head. You talked about the player that missed 2 years after he got struck in the head. You play with these guys' livelihood over a game, and then there's no repercussion for you. Yeah, maybe one of your teammates get hit, or maybe somebody does charge the mound, but like this, Joe Kelly can sit there, you know, as, what is he, like Muggsy Bogues height, and act like he's tough. You looking at Carlos Correa, 6'4", 230 pounds, and here goes this little person on the mound, like mini-me, barking out like he's some tough guy. And I'm like, dude, just if you had to get in that box that next inning, you would be so scared. You wouldn't even get him. You wouldn't even have the courage to even step in the box after you threw at one of those Astros pitchers. But the Dodgers fans and the players on the team are so dumb to realize that, all right, y'all go ahead and pat them on the back today and realize that, you know, Cody Bellinger, while you're smiling and you're celebrating, Mookie Betts, while you're smiling and celebrating, it might be you taking 100 miles per hour in the back tomorrow. Or maybe the Astros decide to operate at your same moral code in baseball and throw at Cody Bellinger's head. Because Cody Bellinger, if we're going apples to apples, Cody Bellinger's won the National League MVP last year. Very important player. Alex Bregman was runner-up to the American League MVP last year. You're throwing at Bregman's head, someone throw at Bellinger's head, and then the whole world, the whole media world, all the baseball outlets, they're like, whoa, you can't do this. You're throwing at the National League MVP. And watch, the exact same things will happen apples to apple, and you'll see the narrative change when it's the Astros throwing at Bellinger's head.
100%. As soon as the Astros do it, then it's we're back to the baseball is a weapon, and they need to be suspended, help throw them out of the game, and all that other nonsense. So as far as the prorating it, look, I'm just going to tell you like it is. That's stupid. You're not prorating it. All right, they were all told before the season, don't throw it, guys.
Right.
And baseball has made it a big deal about they don't want people throwing it, guys. They really don't want people throwing it at guys' heads. He didn't do it just once, he did it twice. And then he started an incident by running his mouth about it. He got what he deserved. You know what? You don't want to get suspended? don't act like an asshat on the field. Not really that hard. There was something else that he asked, and I don't remember what it was.
On the Twitch or when, on the phone call?
Yeah, there was something else he asked, and I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I don't remember as well. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And if you want to, if there's something the caller had that you still want to get answered, shoot it in the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We'll answer it on air or text it to us as well, 713-780-ESPN.
So if you want to read a complete pile of trash, Bill Plaschke in the LA Times wrote an article about how Joe Kelly's 8-game suspension will earn him the eternal gratitude of the sports world. It is a total clown-ass article by a clown-ass writer who sucks up to everything LA. So if you want to read garbage, go look at Bill Plaschke's timeline, and you can see plenty of it. To which I responded, clown article by a clown writer. And this is the trash that you're going to get when you wear the black hat. Everybody wants to dogpile on. Logic goes out the window. There's no, oh, well, you know, he threw at his head. You know, hit him in the back. Hit him in the ribs. Hit him in the butt. Hit him in the thighs. I think every Astros hitter will tell you, you're going to hit me? All right. I take one in the back? All right, I take one in the back. I took one in the thigh, in the butt, in the ribs, in the arm. That's where you hit people. When you're going at guys' heads or when you're throwing at their knees, those are the things that start brawls. And I didn't think that we would actually get the asshat moment that we got from Joe Kelly last night because, again, short season. If you get suspended, you're going to get suspended for a big chunk of the year. He apparently went double rods to Major League Baseball. I'm going to throw it, guys. I'm going to start shit. Can't do that. Sorry, got to dump that one.
That's not the Twitch.
I'm going to start all my nonsense. And that's why you got 8 games.
Yeah, no, I mean, again with this, and we've been so heavy as far as the controversy back and forth between Carlos Correa and Joe Kelly, Dusty Baker's comments, that the one thing that we didn't touch on in the first hour, I do want to make sure to mention that it was all well and good when the Astros were averaging 7.25 runs a game over the first 4 games, but that's pointless when you're down to young pitchers and everything, they're holding it and piecing it all together, and your bats go quiet. I mean, it means nothing to me if your bats are going to show up for 7.25 runs a game against the Mariners, but they want to your nemesis now. And make no mistake about it, Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, these are nemesis now. This has jumped ahead of the Cowboys as the team Houstonians love to hate, because you never really had that rivalry back and forth between Houston and Dallas. What, oh, preseason game once every, you know, I mean, every year, play for the Governor's Cup that nobody gives a damn about. Oh, well, every 4 year you'll play them. Yeah, there's not a rivalry there. You can't create it. There's not enough at stake. What the Dodgers and Astros have now, what the Astros and Yankees have now, that's a hate that you see that is mostly those type of hate relationships take decades, half a century to build. Like you're talking Raiders, Broncos, Raiders, Chiefs, those old type of, you know, Yankees, Red Sox, if we're talking baseball. But now because of how good the Astros are because of this scandal and then how good the Yankees and Dodgers are and obviously all the rich history of the last couple years, this has become so magnified. And the city, I mean, the players and the team can't let the city down. You got us all emotionally invested. Your fan base didn't back down when you got busted for this cheating scandal that put egg on the face of not only the teams, the GMs, the owners, the managers, but also the fan base. They have to listen to it every day they get on the social media. You need to support them. 2 runs after your youthful pitchers went out there, and yes, the 5-run inning was horrible, but the showing they patched up together and basically a bullpen game, the bats let him down. 2 runs last night. That's not enough. Carlos Correa was not only the whole story after the game for his 1 out, but he was the whole offensive story during the game, going 3 for 4. You have to step up tonight, and I'm looking at Correa, and I'm looking at Bregman, 2 people that were pivotal roles, 2 people that are cornerstones of this this franchise over the last couple years and for the next couple, hopefully. you have to respond tonight. Whether you fight and all that, that's going to be fun. That's going to be great on national TV. But the real thing I'll be watching for tonight, those bats have to show up against the Dodgers. Forget the Mariners. This is the Dodgers. It's only a two-game series. You can't get swept at home after all the talk in this offseason.
No, and for as much has been made about the Astros pitching and the bullpen and all the young guys, the kids were all right last night. The issue wasn't so much how they pitched. It was bad decisions that they made in the field that hurt them. Right? Like I said, if Bregman goes for two, they're out of the inning up 2-1. Instead, Valdez winds up getting charged with three runs, two earned. Paredes gets charged with two runs, doesn't even get an out because he would have had that double play ball. And then Scrub comes in, makes his major league debut, goes 2 2/3 scoreless. And then Rodriguez makes his debut, goes two innings scoreless. So the young kids, look, it wasn't always pretty. They threw a lot of pitches out of the strike zone. They gave up some hits. They walked some guys, but they got out of it. And you like seeing your young kids show that mental toughness to get out of jams. The Astros are probably winning zero games on two runs and four hits this year. Like, almost literally zero games. They have to score. Valdez happened to run out of gas in the fifth inning. Dusty might have left him in a little too long. But early in the season, you want to see how much, you know, how much does he have left?
Mm-hmm.
So, Valdez gave you, I mean, Valdez pitched really well for four innings.
He did.
And then in the fifth inning, ran out of gas. But you should feel, I mean, he threw four innings, give one hit.
I mean, you also got to remember, as much as there's a rivalry here and we get carried away with the back and forth and all the agendas and storylines, Dodgers lineup is one of the best lineups in baseball, just like the Astros.
They're so definitely those young the best pitchers, lineup in the National.
Those young pitchers to go out there and basically shut them out for everything except one inning, they kept you in the ballgame. The bats were the true story last night on why the Astros lost.
No, the top four lineups in baseball, not in any order, are the Astros, the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the four best offenses in baseball. And if you got, you know, Valdez going out there, and for four innings, he gives up one hit. That was better than anybody expected.
Right.
You know, Walker Buehler, who we weren't expecting to go very deep, went 3 2/3 and gave up two runs. The Astros then faced six relievers and collected one total hit. They're not winning any games like that. It's the Blitz.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patch Crate and Jason Brad again for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the H.R.M.P. listen line, on the text line, on Twitter. At P. Creighton 1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters, at Aaron is Blitz. So, lineup tonight for the Astros. Kyle Tucker leads off, playing left field, followed by Altuve, Bregman, Brantley, Yuli, Correa, Reddick, Miles Straw in center, and Machete behind the plate, as Christian Javier will get the start for the Astros tonight.
More looking forward to Tucker in the leadoff spot, Miles Straw in the lineup at 8.
More looking forward to watching how Javier pitches.
That's a great answer as
well. He doesn't throw that hard. He throws like 92 normally. Mm-hmm. He can run it up to 95, but most of the time he's around 92 miles an hour. He throws high in the zone, and he gets swings and misses. He's a very deceptive delivery, which makes the ball look a lot faster than it does. If you've ever heard the phrase, the ball gets on top of the hitter faster.
Right.
So he has a very deceptive three-quarter arm delivery with a low slot that it's hard for the batter to pick the ball up.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to get swings and misses while not necessarily throwing as hard as other guys. Sid Fernandez, back in the 80s, he used to throw like 92 normally. He was a lefty. He had this real herky delivery where he would hide the ball very well, and then just the ball would just explode on top of you, and he'd get a ton of strikeouts. He also walked the ballpark, but he'd get a ton of strikeouts because very deceptive motion made it hard to pick the ball up out of his hand and was able to get a lot of strikeouts while throwing 92. Javier, kind of the same way, hard to pick the ball up out of his hand. He's had a lot of success despite not having top-level stuff because it's hard to pick the ball up on him. So I'm interested to see how he makes he's had a lot of success in the minors. I'm interested to see how he does. Again, this is the best lineup in the National League. He's not getting a bunch of guys, you know, like a spring training. It's Muncy, Betts, Bellinger, Turner, Seager, Taylor, Peterson. The only guy in here you don't know is Beatty and Barnes. So you're getting all the normal guys in the lineup except Matt Beatty is in there at DH.
Who's the guy? So you look at Christian Javier, and we had Richard Justice on Friday when we sat in for the Blitz, and he was talking about, I don't remember if it was James Click or who in the organization, but he said there was someone in the Astros organization that just couldn't quit talking up Christian Javier to him on what he felt like his ceiling was going to be and made it sound like this is the guy to pay attention to in 2020.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't know that he dropped the name
okay.
on that, but
so it's definitely interesting to check him out tonight. Is there a matchup, and I'm sure there's plenty of them, but is there a specific matchup in this Dodgers lineup that for a young guy like Javier in this environment with national exposure on and everybody paying attention to this game tonight, is there a guy that you just really don't like the matchup for Javier? Bellinger, Jock Peterson, Max Muncy, one of these guys? And
I haven't seen him enough to know answer to that question, but here's the thing. Among pitchers who threw at least 100 innings in the minors last year, Javier's ERA last year was 1.74.
Wow.
That was second. The only guy who had a better ERA than him was Mackenzie Gore, who is considered the best pitching prospect in all of baseball. His opponent batting average was 1.30. He held opposing hitters to a 1.30 batting average, which not only was the best in the minor leagues last year.
What was he at last year? Double A?
It was at Triple A.
Oh, he was at Triple A. Put him up that. Wow.
Yeah, he was. Hold on. Let me look. He split time between High A, Double A, and Triple A last year. He went across all three. And he was supposed to start this year at AAA. But he did pitch at AAA a bit last season. And his strikeouts per nine last year, 13.5.
Jeez.
That's a huge number. He was third in strikeout percentage at over 37%. So 37%, more than a third of the batters he faced, he struck out.
You had a question on social media earlier, and for some reason just triggered to me now. And it was about, seeing how we're talking about young pitchers here. It was again on Forrest Whitley, and I really like this question because I was curious about it as well. Do you feel like the Astros now, with all the injuries to the pitchers and with Forrest Whitley's need to be up here, do you feel like the Astros are still shielding and protecting Forrest Whitley from his own self, from the struggles to protect him for the longevity of his career? Or do you still feel like he's still a long way away from actually being able to benefit this Astros team?
After he had his meltdown at AAA last year,
yeah,
he went back to extended spring training. They redid his mechanics. Then he went to the Arizona Fall League, and they redid his mechanics again. Mm. He's not ready. The purpose of Whitley being on the 60-man was that he would not lose a year of development because they're trying to get him right. He would have started this year at AAA, and it would not have been a question. the only reason he's being discussed is because the Astros have about eight pitchers that are unavailable right now. He should not pitch. He's not ready. And for a guy who had the meltdown he had last year and had to go all the way back to extended spring training and then start again at A-ball and work his way back up, all right, I don't trust that his psyche is strong enough to handle going out, getting shelled, and getting over. Also, you talked yesterday about the idea of protecting a guy's trade value.
Yes, and that's kind of where I was going here.
If you want Forrest Whitley to be, and like I said, I am all for trading Forrest Whitley to get a front-of-the-rotation starter. I wouldn't sell him for less. But if you want to protect his trade value, he never sees a major league game this year, and you keep leaking out every now and then, hey, he looks great. He's done this. He did that. Throwing, you know, high velocity, great command, worked a simulated game, you know, like seven no-hit innings. You've got to leak out a bunch of positive stuff because, remember, nobody's seeing him but you. Mm-hmm. So the only info that's going to be out there is the info that you want out there. You get to create the narrative again. And it's how the Astros can rebuild Whitley's value without him actually taking the mound. Remember, he's 22 years old.
Yeah, but we've been talking about him for years, and my fear is that every year we're still talking about what he could be. Then is another year he depreciates in value.
If he were 25, yes. But he's 22. We've been talking about it a long time because he has that kind of stuff. But in reality, most pitchers don't come up to the league at 22. Very, very few get here at 22 and have any kind of success. That's why when it happens, it's such a big deal. If Whitley doesn't wind up getting to the majors until he's 23, 24, that's the path most big-time prospects usually make.
All right, we're in for the blitz, so in the theme of that, what are the odds Wednesday? Let me throw something at you. What are the odds? I'm going to give you two. That Forrest Whitley depreciates in value through this year. What are the odds he gains in value this year?
I'd say he gains value 80%.
Wow, really?
Because I don't think he's going to pitch in a major league game. And again, all the info we're going to find out about him is going to come from whatever they're doing at their other training facilities. And it's going to be what they want us to know. Because, you know, we can't go down there and watch. So
it's like Area 51.
Pretty much. So we're only going to know what they tell us we're going to know. And therefore, you know, they've got film on the guys from last year and the years before. And everybody knows the scouting reports on Whitley and how good his stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
If the Astros are saying, well, you know what? He not only is his stuff good, his command is better. He looks like he's ready. You know, the idea being, oh, he'll start him at AAA, but he's probably going to, let's say it'll be a July call-up or whatnot, because, you know, the Astros are kings at manipulating that service time.
Right.
Teams will be interested, and he will be a guy that teams will want in a package for a big-time starter in the offseason. If you pitch him and he fails, value goes down. There's more to gain by not pitching him than pitching.
There you go. He's the best in the biz. You want baseball knowledge in Houston, there's nobody better than Patrick Creighton. Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock from Late Hits, sitting in for Fred and AJ. They will return from vacation tomorrow and Friday. We'll be back on our usual time slot, 7 to 9, right here on ESPN 975. If you want to continue to interact with the show today here on this hump day and what of the odd Wednesday on the Blitz, you've got another hour and a half. Astros Dodgers kick off in 30 minutes, and your Rockets return to actual games that matter in 2 days. We'll have some NBA prediction as well. To interact with the show, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We can continue to talk to you, answer your questions during the break, live and also on air. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 to text the show or call the show as well.
I don't know how much longer I can afford these platitudes. Might have to scale back on them. And how many $100 steaks I can afford.
They're recognizing it. They'll see your knowledge.
It's the Blitz.
Then she finally got the roam, and all she did was post pictures for people at home. Cause all that matter.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This
is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we're back here on The Blitz. Late hit sitting in for The Blitz. And before we jump back into the show, let me speak to all you men and women, Houstonians out there, that may have been dealing with sinus, headache, congestion, all the pain that comes with it. I know it far too well. Last 20 years of my life, I've dealt with sinus congestion and infection over and over and over again. Had sinus surgery in 2003, Charlotte, North Carolina. Balloon sinuplasty 2017 right here in Houston. Each time within a month or two after the surgery, I'm back in the ENT office, ear, nose, and throat office, to have get another treatment prescription to take care of the infection. Was until 2019, about 8 months ago, I went and met with Dr. Ben Salento. Pete Creighton did the same thing as well. Out of his state-of-the-art facilities, conveniently located right here on the north side in Houston. Dr. Ben asked me a lot of questions about my personal health and why this was an issue for me, some of the things I'm dealing with, so he could basically cater the service to me personally, because we're all humans are basically like snowflakes, even in how it relates to our sinuses. So explained it, took me down the hall, put me on the sinus CT scan machine, brought the imaging back to the room, threw it up on the big screen, and Dr. Ben Salento, if you're like me, this is big. I'm so used to being pawned off to assistants or interns. Dr. Ben Salento himself explained to me what I saw on the image and explained it in layman's terms for the first time, honestly, what was going on with me, showed me where these deep-rooted infections were that past surgeries hadn't taken care of, took all of it out. I left there with complete confidence, had the surgery a week later, and took all the infection, everything out until this day, 8 months later. Haven't had a sinus infection, haven't had a sinus headache. I don't snore anymore. I sleep deeper and I wake up more refreshed, feeling younger and more energized. It's the best decision I made. It'll be the best decision you make. Break the cycle and breathe. Go visit Texas Sinus and Snoring and set up a consultation. Again, that's TexasSinusAndSnoring.com.
Or give them a call, 346-413-9313. That's 346-413-9313. You don't have to live with sinus pain. You don't have to live with snoring. You don't need to live with sleep apnea. You do need to call Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring. 346-413-9313. TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Tell them Patrick and Jason sent you.
We'll catch up some of the social media, Twitch, text messages, all of that. Now we'll go into, I know Patrick's got a lot of things lined up for the last hour and a half, but real quick on the Twitch. Let's see. There's one thing here says, John says, appreciate listening to the show. You and Josh should, you should have Josh on the show. We should have Josh on the show one day and bury the hatchet live on radio for all of us here. Me and Josh, we're trying to correlate that a little bit. Pete Creighton had to miss a day or two here, but we're on 7 to 9 at night. Josh does the show from 2 to 4. Then he's got his podcast typically at 7 at night. I think he moved it up to 5 today because the Astros-Dodgers kicking off in 30 minutes. And Josh, like the rest of us in Houston, is not going to miss a minute of that. But yeah, I'm actually all game for that. Me and Josh definitely bury the hatchet. It's all water on the bridge. He's doing great things here. I enjoy listening to him on the way in, and we'll definitely make that happen on Late Hits one day.
So a different Josh who I guess had called, he said he doesn't think that suspension should be prorated. Just, you know, 8 games. Says he's a Rangers fan. And was angry when he saw the chicken bleep move, because that guy doesn't, you know, with the DH now in both leagues, that guy never comes up to bat. But as far as people, and a lot of people have asking, do you think the Astros will retaliate tonight? And I don't think the Astros will retaliate. I don't think
the Blitz
Astros,
theme, what are
well,
the odds?
I don't think the Astros will instigate. I'll put it that way. If the Dodgers decide they're going to throw at him again, they're all bets are off, but I don't see the Astros being the ones who make the first move. You just saw the guy get suspended for 8 games. Their manager just got a game suspension. Dusty has already said he doesn't want to ask young guys to do that. You know, he wants them to pitch well, not to get suspended or get fined. And these young guys that make major league minimum money don't need to lose a fifth of their salary when they don't make all that much money. And he doesn't want them having to bear that burden. So from that aspect, I don't think you would see the Astros intentionally throwing at anybody tonight. I think you'll see the Astros We're going to see, you know, what is ticked off Astros. Because last night, ticked off Astros, they didn't do squat.
Oh, they fell flat.
They didn't do squat when it came to swinging the bats. Do they find the bats today? Because that's why they lost. They lost because they didn't hit. They hit tonight, we had a different story.
T-Minus of Texas wants to know who got suspended. They just checked in, and in radio, it's always good to reset anyway. So will you catch them up with all the suspensions
all
from
right,
yesterday's
so
game?
Joe Kelly got a game. Sorry, got 8 games. Joe Kelly gets 8 games. Dave Roberts gets a game. Dusty Baker gets fined. Now, why Dusty got fined is subject to interpretation. I can only say that, you know, Dusty probably used some colorful metaphors.
Oh, I'm sure.
When speaking to the umpires and got fined because he used a lot of colorful metaphors. Which were warranted because the umpires did a trash job where after Joe
I'm
Kelly
you
throws
said
it two guys.
Not a lot of people have mentioned it. I'm glad you said that. I remember watching in the moment and thinking to myself, man, this umpire's not doing a great job of de-escalating this. He did nothing.
No, and the fact that after the benches all get back in, the Astros got a warning and the Dodgers did not. That alone should get every one of those umpires sat for a week.
Mm.
Because there is no protocol for that. There is no precedent for that. When you warn teams, you warn everybody. To only warn one team, and the team that got thrown at, no less, while not warning the offending team, is as ridiculous, slanted, Bush League. Now you're talking about deliberately tilting the field of play. And this is, we've talked about this a lot. The Astros are never getting the benefit of the doubt from anybody. And unfortunately, the umpires are on that list. The umpires should always be 100% down the middle, totally unbiased, but they're not. They're people. And every one of those umpires has a favorite team and a favorite player they watched growing up. And they're all baseball fans. And just like everybody else around the country, buying up the BS narrative of only the Astros cheated. No, everybody cheated. Only the Astros got a real punishment. But that's not the story that comes out of the commissioner's office. So it's not the story that comes from Ken Rosenthal and Jeff Passan and Buster Olney and all the national media guys who suck up to whatever MLB's main office tells them this is the narrative you guys are going to push. Umpires are people too, and they fall into the same bad habits and bad way because they're reading it and hearing it and buying it.
All right, one of my favorite segments, the Blitz does, and it's our last day in, and it works out perfectly. Is what are the odd wins? What of the? God, I can't talk.
What are the odds?
Thank you, I appreciate that. What are the odds Wednesday? And I won't say it anymore. But so, Aaron, with that, let's start off with you. I want to ask a question. If y'all got any, you can hit us on Twitch, social media, or the phone line or text as well. Aaron, what are the odds, going back to this question, that the Astros retaliate hitting a Dodgers player first?
12%.
I'm right there with it. I say 20%. Where are you at, Patrick? You're a bit adamant about it there, so I think we're kind of all in the same ballpark.
If you're on Twitch, you probably saw my eyes pop. Because I would have said 12%. That's why when Aaron said 12%, I was like, what? Wait a second. You're reading my freaking mind. Wait a second. Get out of my head.
Yeah, so I don't think the Astros are going to retaliate in the sense of hitting the Dodgers first. Now, if their players get plunked, I could see the Astros charging the mound, benches clearing. If their batter gets plunked, I could also see an Astros pitcher at that time hit them back. I don't think this Astros team are the instigators, but as Dusty has said, I think they will reciprocate if that's forced upon them.
No, and I don't think there's going to be warnings issued before the game, but that doesn't mean if one gets away by an Astros pitcher, they won't get run.
Right.
And they've already got enough issues with how many guys are unavailable. Dusty doesn't need to lose another pitcher for a week and a half. He needs to get wins. And you're going to see this, you know, look, this is going to be a big theme for the Astros over the next couple of weeks. A lot of young, unproven guys are going to have to throw big innings. They're going to have to throw high leverage innings. And you don't want one of your better young pitchers that you're now going to rely on eating eight games. What are you doing to replace them?
And that's the other reason I don't. You mentioned in the eight games that Joe Kelly was suspended. That's the other reason I don't think the Astros retaliate. If Major League Baseball stayed mum, if they didn't come out and do anything, I think you probably see something happen early and often in this
game.
And
I got to give it to baseball.
Yeah.
Honestly, I did not think Kelly was getting suspended.
Manfred, with my expectations of Manfred at this point, are extremely low. I have no issue with the eight-game suspension. I think he came out, did what was right, and I don't think it's a popular opinion because so many people view the Astros as the worst people on the planet. So with that being stated, I was surprised by Manfred's decision. I have no problem with the eight games, and I think that eight-game suspension completely stops the retaliation unless the Dodgers want to instigate farther.
I will ask you this. Do you think MLB has told the umpire crew any nonsense at all, toss that pitcher immediately?
100%.
Now, what about that you have to face three batters rule?
Well, if you get tossed, you get tossed.
Hey, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that.
But whoever comes in has to face three batters.
Hey.
Exactly. I mean, what if they get tossed on the first batter? What if literally he takes somebody? Because they used to do it with Tyler White. You know, hey, not in a good spot. We don't have a guy warmed up. Or, hey, we're not using another bullpen arm. Go out there and just chuck up curveballs and see if they can hit them. What if they take somebody, a position player, and throw them out there and say, you know what? There's one runner on. We're down. You used to pitch in high school. Go up there. Put one right between his shoulder blades, if you can. If you miss, oh well, you get tossed.
Is there anybody
Is there anyone
that you would deem expendable enough that you think throws that hard? Because I'd say probably not.
Well, remember when they used Canseco to come on and pitch late in the game and he messed up his entire elbow, had the surgery and everything? Yeah, I don't know about that, but I don't. I think Major League Baseball coming down with the suspension before tonight's game on national TV, I think it was the right thing to do. I don't think we see retaliation from the Astros, but it is a what are the odds Wednesday here on the Blitz. So if you have any questions, anything, just ask us what are the odds. You can also put it into Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can tweet it on social media at PCrate1, at Aaron is Blitz, at Jason Braddock, and at Late Hitters as well. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Gets you in on the phone line, gets you in on the text line. Got some calls on the board. We'll get to all your texts, your messages, and everything else, and we'll continue to conversate with you during the break here on Twitch.
So we'll get your calls next, and we'll also get you to the Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, Patrick and Jason in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. We'll get to the phones real quick here. John, you're on The Blitz. What's going on, John?
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder that last segment. Instead of a position player with an expanded roster and so many pitchers on the roster, just pick the crappiest pitcher that throws hard and just bring him in later in the game so you don't have to use your starter. And later in the game, just first batter, just knock the hell out of somebody.
So you're saying Josh James, without saying his name? The thing with Josh James, he might hit their head without even trying to, though, so that might be a good strategy.
Yeah, and they don't have enough starting pitchers to sacrifice one.
Josh, we need you to go out there and do something here in the first inning. And then they think to themselves and say, never mind. Just go do you. Because that's what he does. Throw hard, and wherever it ends up at, that's where it ends up at.
Hey, yeah. Walks five, strikes out six. You know, Josh James.
Par for the course. It's Josh James.
All right, it's time for the Zadok Jeweler's Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. This is Zadok Jeweler, Gem of the Day.
All right, Jason, how much do the people need free porn.
Man, don't we have enough of free porn?
Is there any other kind?
Now, well, I mean, I remember when I was at 790, when I first got there about a decade ago, they were at the point to where they're like, all right, we got to put content up on the website every day. And like everybody was putting up hot chicks in bikinis. And I never understood. And I think 610 was doing the same thing at the time. I don't remember if they were doing it while you were there. Go check out the blog entry today. So-and-so in a bikini. I'm like, it's on the internet.
It's the bimbo of the day.
Yes.
The bimbo of the day.
If I'm getting on the internet, why am I going to go look at this chick scantily clad? I can... Porn everywhere. I can see everything.
Yeah, let me look at this girl in a bikini. Yes. I can just go to Google and quick search and, oh, look, bikini's gone. Holy cow. Who knew? Well, there's a porn star named Phoenix Marie who will have a special place in the hearts of people like myself and Fred Fowler because she's a big hockey fan.
Okay.
And to celebrate the return of the NHL and to apparently pimp her OnlyFans account, she has decided to make her OnlyFans free until Sunday to celebrate the return of the NHL.
What is OnlyFans?
Apparently, it's like a site where you, as an adult entertainer, can charge people to subscribe to your feed, and then they can pay extra and do like private sessions with you. So basically it's like virtual champagne room.
I wonder if I could make anything on there. Like anything's a profit. Like even if I'm going to make $5, it would just be, you know, like just a random guy. Like somebody comes, you're used to seeing all these buff guys and well endowed and everything. And here I am with a bag of potato chips and some male thongs, you know, like with a junk holder out the front. That's an elephant.
You know, I would tell you that you would probably make money, but not from people that you'd want it from.
Okay. That's fair enough. That's the whole male stripper thing and all that is like, yeah, you know, you can make really good money stripping, but most of your audience will not be women. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I think I'm out. I think I'm out on that one.
So if you jump on this bandwagon for this girl, you can get... If you jump in by Sunday, she will give you 30 days free on her OnlyFans account, which I would guess probably involves a lot of her not scantily clad, as she apparently tags Brazzers on a lot of her posts. I'm assuming that if she's on Brazzers, that she probably is very used to not having clothes on. Also, apparently, she is a Vegas Golden Knights fan. She has Go Knights Go tagged in one of her pictures.
See, this doesn't do anything for me. Like, I mean, it sounds like marriage, but you share your wife. You know, it's like, hey, every day you get this free account for 30 days so you can go see me naked. I'm like, that's called marriage. It's like what makes marriage not sexy. It's, yeah, I see the same person naked every day. It's like every Christmas, hey, here's your PlayStation 4. And the next Christmas, you wrap it back up and you unwrap it. Hey, here's your PlayStation 4. Then you wrap it back up and you unwrap it. I know what's inside. Why do I keep unwrapping this?
Here's the part I don't
Why do I want to see it day two if I saw it day one? I don't need 30 days free. Give me 15 minutes. 15 minutes free.
With the unlimited, ridiculous amount of free porn
yes.
on the internet, why the hell would you ever... pay for it.
I could see a leprechaun banging what's those guys that are half men, half horse called?
Centaurs.
I could probably go find that right now in 30 seconds and watch it if that's what I'm into. So yes, I mean, this is, unless she's got a third boob, I'm not there for 30 days.
All right, so what is that, Total Recall?
Yes. And I actually would. I would.
I mean, yeah, I don't get the whole I'm gonna pay for one girl to get naked when there's free porn everywhere. Yeah. Thank you, Google.
Here's my $100. Get naked for me again. I wonder what you look like under there.
But she's doing it in the name of the return of sports. Whatever. And that's why she's the Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day.
Oh, I forgot.
It's the gem of the
Come
day.
Come on, check on this one.
The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
I didn't do it. I didn't burp either. got to get
I want to say that you're on a list now because you're talking about watching a leprechaun bang a centaur.
Yeah.
And you want to watch it.
The FBI.
This is Jason Braddock, not this wasn't said by Patrick Creighton.
I'm saying.
Aaron Raybould.
Right.
Or Fred Fowler, AJ Hoffman. No, that was Jason Braddock who said he would like to see a leprechaun bang a centaur and plans to search the interwebs for that content.
Does that fall under the bestiality clause?
Maybe the dark web. Maybe, is that better? Maybe I searched the dark web. And I said, per se, if I was to want to look at it, I didn't. I mean, I would. I mean, if you find it, send it to me. I'll watch
it. I'm going to ask an actual legitimate question.
Okay. No, I don't know why.
How the hell do I get on the dark web?
You have to have a special browser and everything.
Did you ever watch Movie 43, by the way?
I watched about 5 minutes of it and ejected because it was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
It is hilarious. I mean, I was high when
exactly.
I watched it.
That's it.
Man, come on. Halle Berry at the table with Hugh Jackman, and he takes off the thing. He is, you know.
Where do I get one of these special browsers?
You know.
I can send you a podcast that I listen to all the time, weekly. He actually did a whole episode on the dark web, so he had somebody, a listener, walk him through. So he went and downloaded the specific browser and went and browsed and looked through, like, this is what you can buy these drugs at this point. You can buy all kinds of weird stuff. You can find all kinds of weird fetish porn. You can find anything you want on the dark web that you could ever imagine.
What fetish porn did you find?
Basically, unregulated web.
Yes. It is... a lot of people use it for black market. It's a black market internet. Like Craigslist, they used to say was the black market of it. No, because people could see it. This is like you literally can get on there and apparently see somebody going, hey, here's 2 grams of heroin, $100.
Do you have to take a red pill or a blue pill before you get on now?
I don't think so.
Will a code come across your screen that says follow the rabbit?
If you click the wrong link, probably.
We'll
because, again, it's unregulated, so somebody can put in all these links that you're clicking on to see the different posts. It could be disguised with some type of Trojan horse or virus or something like that.
I just feel like if I get on there, I'm going to have a knock at the door and Morpheus is going to be there.
Dark web is probably littered with viruses, I bet.
Probably.
But, I mean, that's no different than your cell phone.
I have an Apple. I don't get viruses.
That's the most bougiest porn watcher response I've ever heard.
This is why I don't have an Android phone. Androids get viruses.
You probably eat kale while watching porn on your Apple phone and ordering pecan pie.
Well, I do eat kale.
Okay.
But it has to be chopped kale. Kale in a chopped salad tastes much better than regular kale. Yes, I eat chopped salad.
You're weird, dude.
If that makes me very white, so be it. It's the Blitz.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.